ඔබරැඳ සිරින්නේ SBS සිංහල සේවය සමකෙන් වැඩිතුර තොරතුරු දැනගැනීමට පිවිසන්න sps.com.au/සිංහල වෙපඩවයට.
Sri Lanka has recently faced a severe flooding affecting thousands of families across the country. During this challenging time, Australia has stepped forward with the humanitarian assistance and continued support. Today we are pleased to speak with His Excellency the Australian High Commissioner to Sri Lanka, Mr. Matthew Duckworth, to discuss Australia's recent flood relief efforts, future cooperation between Australia and Sri Lanka, new opportunities for people-to-people links, and the safety of Australian travellers visiting Sri Lanka. Your Excellency, welcome to SBS Sinhala. Could you outline how Australia has supported Sri Lanka during this emergency and what form the recent flood relief assistance has taken?
It's clear that Cyclone Ditwa has had immense impacts on Sri Lanka. The Australian government has responded quickly to this crisis by bringing in $3.5 million Australian dollars of emergency humanitarian assistance. Now, what that money is for is humanitarian assistance for those people who have been impacted or displaced. There's also been some of the funding allocated through the UN, which is bringing in important relief supplies, some of the search and rescue efforts, and then also, of course, for people who are remaining displaced by the storm, you know, things to get their lives back in order. Part of it will also go for cash transfers to communities that have been impacted by this to assist them to get their lives re-established. And of course, very importantly, a lot of this assistance is aimed at some of the most vulnerable communities here in Sri Lanka. So women, children, people with disabilities who have networks around them. And that has been, again, providing small grants or providing things like dignity kits for women and assistance with women's health issues as well. Most of this funding has been delivered through Australia's humanitarian partners here, and we're working through those to make sure that that aid is delivered very quickly to the communities that need it.
The World Bank has estimated that the cyclone caused around US$4.1 billion in damage. Beyond immediate humanitarian aid, can Sri Lanka expect a broader or long-term support from Australia as part of the recovery and rebuilding process?
Yes, indeed, Kasapa. Look, I think firstly, we recognise that this disaster is going to have a long tail on it. And of course, what I've been speaking about has been Australia's initial response, those immediate humanitarian needs. But of course, we recognise that Sri Lanka's road to recovery will be long, and there will be a need for ongoing support, including for the recovery effort, as well as for Sri Lanka's broader, building that long-term resilience to face these sorts of crises again in the future. As we know all too well that these do tend to happen. So what I'd say is that Australia has a long track record of working with Sri Lanka in crises like this. I think many of your listeners will know that in 2022, during the economic crisis here, Australia had $75 million worth of emergency humanitarian funding for health and food support. Did a similar thing 20 years ago with the tsunami in 2004 with an amount of around $22 million Australian at that time. We also, I should say, have a program here worth around $25 million a year, which is aimed at some of that longer-term resilience I was talking about, supporting economic growth and skills development, of course, as well as some of these immediate community needs. So Sri Lanka knows that Australia is a long-term and reliable partner. We are certainly committed to our long-term support for Sri Lanka. And yes, we certainly will be looking at what more that we'll be able to do over the coming months and I think probably years. We're going to look very closely, of course, at the needs assessment that the World Bank has done, and we'll look to touch some future support around where those needs are and where Australia can most usefully contribute.
We have seen on social media that a number of Australian travellers and volunteers have been helping with the flood relief efforts on the ground. Are there any notable initiatives or individual efforts that you would like to highlight?
I think it's great to see, isn't it? We've seen some fantastic imagery of Australians coming in and pitching in and helping. And this has been in a broad range of areas. You know, for example, we know there's been some school groups that have been here on tours and They've given up some of their time to assist people in villages where they happen to be with some of the clearing and that immediate response. We do have a number of Australian volunteers who are based here. Now, they're supporting local NGOs with longer-term efforts, but, of course, they have turned their attention over the last week or two to how they can help coordinate some of this sort of relief work that needs to be done. We also have the Australia Assists program. It is a program where the Australian government identifies skilled humanitarian specialists who have skills in things like logistics, and we're able to quickly deploy them to assist with a relief effort. And we've got one of those experts is here at the moment working with the Sri Lankan's own Central Coordination Committee to coordinate Sri Lanka's interagency response. I think part of your question maybe was also about what can Australian Sri Lankan communities who are in Australia do sorts of efforts. What I would say is the most important thing that any of these relief agencies or even the Sri Lankan authorities need at the moment is money. They need financial support. They need the support to either provide the sort of cash grants to small communities, people who are need to buy things like new bedding and new mosquito nets and new paint and cleaning goods to reestablish their homes, as well as for some of the longer term issues around supporting communities that have been displaced and ultimately supporting rebuilding efforts. So anything that our communities are able to do to raise funds, I know will be very well regarded. I also know there are some areas where you can go to get advice on organisations that are working here. So there's a particular Australian Council for International Development is an organisation or a peak body of Australian NGOs that are working internationally. And you can go on that website, which is www.acfid.asn.au, and that website will provide information of some of the organisations from Australia in communities here in Sri Lanka. So if you're raising funds and you're looking for a way to best make sure that gets to the communities on the ground that need it, that would be a very good place to start.
High Commissioner, beyond emergency support, Australia and Sri Lanka share strong ties in education, trade, skills development and people-to-people links. What new or emerging opportunities do you see for strengthening this partnership in the coming years?
Absolutely. Well, I think our relationship with Sri Lanka is very deep and long, and that is built on those people-to-people links that you mentioned, mainly forged through migration, with Sri Lankans coming over a long period of time and settling in Australia and making fantastic contributions to our community. And the other key pillar of that is education. This has been going on since 1951 with the forming of the Colombo Plan and the first Sri Lankan students coming to Australia under that scheme. But nowadays we have around 22 to 23,000 Sri Lankan students studying in Australia every year, and they're getting the sorts of skills that Sri Lanka's economy will need going forward, as well as obviously providing them with their own better employment prospects. So your question about what more can we do, I certainly think there's a lot of scope to continue to grow. One area where I think we're perhaps a little underdone is on skills. I think there's a very strong relationship on tertiary university study, but we know that in the Australian economy, the future needs really include an awful lot of those high-level skills that you may develop through a TAFE or through a college. So I think areas where we may be able to encourage greater cooperation would be opportunities to tie up Australian TAFEs and skills colleges with Sri Lankan providers to see how we can maybe provide some of those really critical skills training here in Sri Lanka or opportunities for Sri Lankans in Australia.
Sri Lanka remains a popular destination for Australian travellers. Given recent events, what message would you like to share with Australians regarding travel safety and visiting Sri Lanka at this time?
Absolutely. Sri Lanka is a safe destination for travel, and you should be very confident in coming here and being to have a really wonderful holiday. Now, of course, there are some parts of the country that are going to have a longer recovery time than others. And so it is important to do your research and to look in particular at the Smart Traveller website, where we post our updates on what we're seeing, and as well as talk to your local provider if you are looking at booking tours or booking accommodation. Have a conversation with the agent or with the hotel operator about what's possible in the area that you're looking to go to.
That is the Australian High Commissioner to Sri Lanka, Mr. Matthew Duckworth. High Commissioner, thank you for joining SBS Sinhala and for sharing Australia's continued commitment to Sri Lanka during these challenging times.
Thank you so much for having me on the program. It's been a real privilege. Thank you.
SBS.
ලයික් කරන්න, ෂෙයා කරන්න, අදහස් ප්‍රකාශ කරන්න SBS සිංහල Facebook පිටුව follow කරන්න.